They, the difference that people don't get is this. They would go for a month and they would all experience the same thing. And by the way, spoiler, this is why they only went for a month. They'd go for a month. They'd come from the European or NA ladder where they were like top grandmaster, obviously in all the tournaments, you know. Even if the tournaments had Koreans in, well, they'd have like a few Koreans. And also, it's a weekend tournament. You don't spend a whole week prepping for the match like GSL. So these players would come and they would think, because of the Western tournaments and the Western ladder, like, okay, yeah, maybe Koreans are the best, but I should still be pretty good. And you used to tell me every time you went back, it was like starting at square one again. Like, you would start and you'd be terrible the first week. You'd have 40% win rate. And that a lot of these Western players, no joke, their ego was too big. I know a lot of fans wouldn't believe this. They would think you're the ego player. These Western players couldn't handle losing for 2 or 3 weeks. So they would play, usually fail the GSL qualifiers, and just fucking go home and just go and essentially admit, I'll never try to do it, and I'll just keep playing these Western tournaments. Like, they, very few people had, like, it's because I want you to explain this. It's hard mentally to do that, right? To make yourself go through the losses.
Of course, if you're like ranked top 10 on EU and then you go to Korea and you're ranked 120 or so, like, I mean, it's a hard thing to swallow, right? But it's the truth back then. Like, I remember in, what was the name? MVP. Like, I had to work my way up from like rank 170 to like rank 5 until I went to MLG Providence. So, I mean, it was always a good indication, you know, of like, how good are you? If you can get top 10 on the Korean ladder, you knew you were doing something good. Like, if not strategically, at least like your mechanics were at a really good place.
What I ask is this. I'm not trying to at all be dramatic here, but when you lost those games, did you ever do anything? Like, did you ever just go to a hotel room and cry or smash it up or any fucked up? Did you do any ridiculous stuff?
Did I smash things up?
Yes. Or just get emotional or whatever?
Not like another person, but I mean things. Yeah, like I was throwing stuff and like screaming and so that kind of stuff. For sure. But it was more than anything, it was like, at first it was rage, right? But like as that passed, it was more like you were just so disappointed in yourself. You felt hopeless. You didn't know what to do. And I think that's like the most dangerous feeling in that sense, when you feel like no matter what you do, you can't achieve what you want, which when I say it out loud, sounds like a very privileged thing to say. But those were my emotions for sure. Like I said, though, whenever everything was played out, my initial thought always came back, which is like, if there's something I can change, I will do it, and then I will win. And since I always knew that this was something I could change in theory, right? Like,
yes,
in theory, I could do it. Like, I could improve my mental state, not be as affected, and so on. So I never like felt.
Yeah, yeah. Like the story, the kind of stories you're looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, come on.
From my mom. It's more from my uncle, right?
Okay.
So when I was a kid, like, oh, it's Champions League on TV. I'm like 8, 9, 10 years old. He has a couple of his friends like over at the house. You know, my aunt, she, you know, she can't be at the house at the time. They're just, you know, having some beers, watching the game, yelling at the TV because everyone's betting on something, right? And now he says to me, like, you wouldn't believe it. The same environment, but we're watching CS. And it's just like the same thing, just like screaming at the TV, even though they don't know what they're seeing, you know, what's going
right
on, cursing all the time. This one guy who's the master gambler, you know, and the main bettor, like, he's now betting on Counter-Strike all the time.
Okay.
And all this stuff, losing his mind, right? So started following it and shit. So yeah, it's some of the changes like that, you know, CS has infiltrated some of the lives in my family. So
you think it's important that players don't like you too much? Is that, like, put it this way, if a player just thinks like, oh, he's the nicest guy ever, can that get in the way of coaching, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's difficult for them to take you seriously sometimes then, or, you know, for you to kind of force them. Obviously, you have this thing where, oh, we can all be friends and, you know, we all listen to each other. But I think it's difficult nowadays with how competitive everything is and everything's on a higher level and, you know, you need to provide results. It's like, it's easy to be friends and everything to be great when you're doing well, but when things start going south, you know, what's going to happen? How are you going to turn things around then if you're just nice all the time? So I think there's a clear boundary that needs to be set. Like in my eyes, I'm not, I don't answer to the players. I answer to the org. The players answer to me and through me to the org, right? So I don't need to explain myself to the players or anything. Like they just need to do what I tell them to do. Obviously, I'm not a dictator, right? Like if I say something and a player comes in, hey, maybe we could just like, do this a little bit differently. I think it would be better. Yeah, those types of conversations, of course. But still, if I say, yeah, I see where you're going with this, but we're going to do it this way. And that's it, right? And that way I have full control and I also have full responsibility. And then Odior comes in and say, why are we losing all these tournaments? Like, well, what can I say? And then, okay, you're fired, right? Like that, for me, that's the normal cycle of things. I don't know why this is so foreign to people in esports or whatever, to whoever, but for me, that's the most normal thing. Like, I wouldn't have kept my job for as long as I did if they thought that there was something terribly wrong with how I was doing it.
CS:GO and other games, when you think about it, like if you look on League of Legends, for example, like right now, G2 is basically on top of the banter thing, like the
Sure.
top of it, and then all of a sudden LCS or LEC is also up on LCS as well a little
Yes.
bit. When you look comparing through the years, like they had this like history with it that's been in their DNA, but that hasn't really been in the CS1. So I think like when you're starting doing it more and more, it was like, it took people like way off, like they
Yeah,
weren't ready for it, and they were like,
yes.
why have I done, like that's their reaction,
Yes.
so it's like in the beginning it felt like the CS player were like, prima donnas and couldn't take a banter,
Sure.
or like at least saying something
They
like
definitely weren't
negative
used
at
to it.
first.
Like, no one was doing it, of course. Yeah, of course
Exactly.
not. Everyone used to just praise them, like, of course. It's just where fans are, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean that's just how the nature became. So like when everyone's like super nice, super friendly, and then all of a sudden you come in, and then everyone started following with that, it changes a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's like it is part of the game, like you're saying, like it is. And at the end of the day, you have to be critical of the player and the teams. That's your
Sure.
job. You can't be always saying they did this. Oh yeah, the game didn't go well in that way. Blah 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 blah. But I know they're a great team. That like it's not gonna fill up. It's not gonna make the
Yeah.
excitement as a viewer. And like in the end of the day, I'm a viewer and I'm a fan of the games that I'm watching. I want to hear, the commentators and the talents and all that kind of stuff. I want them to say, interesting stuff. Surely it's fun to hear sometimes when they're like, oh, because I'm a professional in something. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really following. I could
Yeah,
probably
of
give a
course.
better example.
Yes.
But it's interesting for a viewer, and I love that, like me personally. And I think people should actually respect that more and more, if you ask me, because.
I feel like that's an area where I got sick after a while of trying to almost compromise by like giving those people their due. Like, yes, well, obviously I wasn't a pro on this. It's just my opinion. Eventually I started just thinking, wait a minute, I've watched thousands of hours of Counter-Strike. I even know these fucking players. I have an opinion and it's valid and that's it. So where do you come down on this whole topic?
Well, I mean, first, that's why I started. I would ask, like, Sean Gares, players in the back, and I would say, like, oh, my opinion is he should have done this or he should have done that. And then they would go, yeah, and actually, did you notice he threw that flash? And then I would go and repeat it whole cloth on a broadcast, and people would say, you don't know what you're talking about. So
Of
you weren't
course,
insulting me.
yes.
You were insulting some of the finest minds in the game. And that just shows how the messenger is all often what is judged rather than the
Sure.
message, right? But like, it's very hard not to sound self-aggrandizing, because I've already said, like, oh, go esports journalist and this great moral crusader. This does sound like I'm just stroking my dick here, so I got to be careful. But the reality was, I think what was different about what we did is we recognized it, and this is a very American ideal. When it comes to sports broadcasters, it's an entertainment product. It's a fucking entertainment product. You've got to be having a good time. You've got to want to watch it. You've got to want to be engaged, because typically what happens in a lot of sports, if you don't have a compelling middle section, a compelling analysis desk, people switch off, they go away, they wait for the game to come back on.
Yes.
No one's really watching it. What I wanted to do was make the analysis desk its own little feature and worth watching in its own instance. And I don't think you get that with just, here's a replay and, oh, look, he's done the thing you just
It's
saw
very
him do.
formulaic now, isn't it? Yeah.
Insulted me and stuff. And I said, listen, he's a good guy. He's liked by the community. I got no beef with it at all. And so we were doing rehearsals, And he made a joke at my expense on the rehearsal, and everyone was like laughing and stuff, you know. And he came up to me after we'd done the bit, and he said, "Is that all right?" And I went, "Yeah, yeah, fuck yeah, it's brilliant. We want banter, mate. So leave that in when we do the real show. So, you know, keep a mental note of that. That's gold, you know. People will be expecting a bit of friction, a bit of banter. So let's definitely go with that." And then when he said it on the show, and it went and it was live, loads of the gremlins from the FGC were going, "Oh, I can't believe Ultra David just burnt Richard Lewis," and he completely played up that he'd done it, like, apropos,
right.
Caught me off guard, it wasn't rehearsed, and I knew right then he was a fucking fake.
Because online he was always fronting as if, like, and I even tell him this shit when I'm at, you know, he was doing that sort of vibe.
Meanwhile, we were having dinner and hanging out, you know, almost every night that he was
fucking
there.
Hell.
And he'd be going, "I just don't get why people don't get you. You know, if you could just tone down your Twitter, I'm sure more and more people would like you." And then as soon as the broadcast was over, he went and told everyone I was a cunt. And then on top of that was like, you know, I would, when people tweet at me, "Richard Lewis is a fascist arsehole who must be stopped," and I would like retweet it. He would go, "I don't know why Richard's like this. He's dogpiling you. It's so bad." Like, yeah, I'm the bad guy in that, am I?
Seven goes to TSM. We pick up Dynamic, who trialed really well with us. We're doing really well, like, the first week when we pick him up and we're on land and stuff. But there were other issues that slowly started unveiling themselves, where it's just like, holy shit. Had I known and had I actually been the type of IGL that people say that I was, in terms of just like overbearing, constantly on people, always like involved with everything, if I had actually been giving all this feedback, I could have like maybe even seen this and maybe corrected it a bit. But I was trying to be like hands off, to the point where at different points in time people had their own like kind of blow-ups, and part of it was at me, like a part of like their anger and stuff was like at me, because they, I think it was maybe like a displacement of anger type of thing. I sat there and I'm just like, I'm not even gonna like push back on this. I'm gonna let the, like, they obviously, they need to let this out. I'm gonna let this out. I didn't even like respond. I responded, but I didn't push back on it. I didn't like try to combat it. I said like, I hear you. I understand. I'm gonna work on this. That's kind of like my involvement with that type of stuff. I wanted to be like, let the coach run the ship and not contribute to any like reasons why we would do bad. I didn't want to overload people with feedback. I didn't want to do too much criticism. I didn't want people thinking that I was above them in any way in terms of like authority or just anything like that. So I think in hindsight, that was not productive for the team.
Right now is obviously one of the moments that's actually why I wanted to do this interview, which is, I hate, it's just a personal pet peeve of mine, I hate not only when people mistell the history of esports, but when they're not only like factually wrong, they just get like the villain as the hero and the hero as the villain. I hate shit like that. It actually does really drive me mad, even when it's not to do with me. And so look, I obviously have an obvious bias in this particular case because this story is about TSM. So now comes the off season with the infamous meme that has haunted you for now almost fucking 10 years, even though, again, as I just alluded to, if people were to just actually take emotion out of it, put the facts in a chronological order, I cannot see how you're the bad guy, Reginald's the good guy, and you were owned somehow. As far as I can tell, you laid out for me, but the basic facts are, you wanted to sign Sven Skeren in the offseason, obviously SK had got relegated. At this time, he was considered the best European jungler, if people don't know. Like, you can argue the Reynold thing, but Sven Skeren was a stud back then, if people don't know. And on top of that, like, I even know, he even admits like later in his career, like, he didn't make much money. This was one of those ones where, like, this is one of the reasons I hate the Riot off season, where back then it would just be like musical chairs, like, and go, the music started, and people, if they were young, would just get so scared they would just sign the first day with people, or if you're one you thought you wanted to sign with didn't, you just go with someone else. And so, because no one wanted to be the one in the musical chairs left with no chair, that's the worst scenario ever. So as far as I know, you contacted him and early on you had basically a verbal agreement over Skype or something, yeah, including like 5.5k out. If people don't know, the meme, you cretins, is that's enormous for the EU LCS. Yeah. That's like fucking more than people in Fnatic get paid. Like, that's mental.
Reggie came to me with this really stupid proposal of, look, we've got an IEM, I think it was an IEM tournament or something, yeah, and they're like, how about we trial Sven Skeren for TSM, and if we don't want him, you can sign him like after this. I'm like, let me get this straight. If he goes and plays badly for you, you might let us have him. And I was like, oh, right. And he's like, yeah, so let's agree not to talk any more about this until like the event's over, and then we'll deal with it then. And I'm like, you do you, mate. So he hangs up thinking I've agreed to this like no contact thing with speaking to Sven Skeren. Obviously, the first thing I do is speak to Sven Skeren. I think that's actually when I added on the thing. I think I'd already offered 5.5k and like, and a 50k bonus, but you have to sign right now. So then he then agrees again. He's like, okay. So at this point, I send over the paperwork immediately, and he starts signing it, like actually signing it. It's one of those contracts where you have to initial at the bottom of each page.
Right.
So he has actually signed parts of the contract at this point. In fact, the only part I can't be 100% sure he signed, although I'm pretty sure he did, was the bottom bit where it says sign here to confirm. And I'm very sure that he actually did, but because I can't physically see it, obviously he can just retcon it later and say that he never actually signed that bit. But I'm talking him through how to sign the contract at this point. And then later that day or the day after, some minion has told Reggie, Reggie, you want to go and check to see that, you know, what you agreed is actually upheld. And he's like, oh my God, this guy lied to me. I can't believe he talked to Sven after I came up with this brilliant idea for us both to not talk to him. And then he starts trying to talk to Sven again and then offers him more money and it gets rid of the trial idea. And he's like, here's a full offer, blah, 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 here's more money. So then Sven basically reneges on everything and signs with TSM. So, and this idea that like, I got outplayed by TSM and I threatened it. Like, it's, if anything, I outplayed him. I'm not going to say it was some insane 4D chess move, but this guy made a really stupid mistake, which I took advantage of. But, you know, money talks and TSM talks and...
Now, you know you never catch me Dolo online because I'm rolling deep and we dem boys. Who am I talking about? The Skrilluminati. So this video and the content on my channel is kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Jason. You know who my second in command is. Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for some of my content? Would you like to ask me a question in an AMA? Do you want to take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic? Maybe you want to see who upcoming guests are in my interviews and on my talk shows. Well, all of these perks and more are available to you if you put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. How? Via the Patreon link in the description box below.